Good evening, everyone. I declare the meeting open at 6:30. I begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. Everyone's advised that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask elected members present whether they foresee any potential conflict of interest in respect of any item on the agenda. Not at the moment, might come up later, might not, we'll see. Communications. Now, I think this is the second of meeting of the month where we have verbal reports from members. I'll ask Ms. Thwaites to explain.
Thank you. We only actually have verbal reports at the bi-monthly from February, so it's not included for the March meeting.
All right, it's a dry month, fair enough. So I'm just after a motion that the other reports from elected members and the executive be received. Moved. Councillor Telfer, seconded. Councillor Hutchinson's. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now go to the next on the agenda is the licensing and licensing policy. All right, let's deal with that. Ms. Hampton might be required at the front of the chamber in case there are some questions. There are a few technical questions about rates and calculations. I'll just start off if any members have any questions about this policy. We've now got a couple of options before us, mainly centred around the question of whether we have a minimum rate and if it is going to be minimum rent, I should say, and whether it's going to be $300 or $1,000, and if so, what happens to those people that have been consulted so far with different figures. Any questions? Otherwise, we can just get into it. Now, Ms. Hampton, somewhere there was a confidential report giving us various calculations, I think, isn't there? I'm just trying to clarify how there's only one recommendation before council, so do you actually have alternative motions if council is minded to adopt a different attitude to the one suggested? Got a few there? Can you just help me through it? Which pages are they on? Perhaps I'm... It often happens when we have a returning report that I get confused between the previous report and the current report. So page 24 has those options. Okay. And the calculations of 300 minimum rent and no rent have been calculated on the basis that they would push up all of the other rents, aren't they, so as to have a same net take or not? No?
No. If you do look at the spreadsheet that we provided members, we did not make any change to other organisations to offset that decrease.
Right. So I thought we had a message with that table that there would be an increased... Yeah, it's in the report. There's an increased net take of rent.
Yes.
Under all three scenarios, is that
yes.
Right? How does that happen?
There have been a number of things that have been changing since we initially started this financial modelling. That's included one of the properties is now leased that wasn't leased before. So there's just been a few variants, and also with Meals on Wheels, the members were previously considering taking a different view on that, as well as community gardens. So that has been incorporated in the report and the policy. So taking those into consideration. So if you have a look at the initial calculated fees, that was what council originally considered.
Okay, so what's the current state of play with community gardens?
I think in the policy we were suggesting, I think it's $300, the minimum fee of $300, and that's been incorporated in the new in the policy on page 28.
Okay, and how was the situation resolved where an organisation's spent capital costs, for example, building the kitchen that Meals on Wheels uses?
We would bring that back to council to consider, because it would be quite a significant commitment of having a property or a building built on council land. So it would be a separate report to council to consider how they'd like to handle it.
I suppose what I meant
was... And
we've
incorporated that into the policy. Where a building's gifted or acquired, council consideration will be given to the terms of this arrangement in determining the annual fee.
Right. So what does that mean for the existing Meals on Wheels people?
That the situation would continue as is, because they've got quite long-term leases where they've been doing all the repairs and maintenance and not paying very minimal rent, so really it would not change anything for Meals on Wheels. We could bring a report back to council when their lease does expire for further consideration.
Wouldn't the policy, as we set it now, cover their new lease?
Well, as I said, we are putting a more general statement in there, because there'll be more than Meals on Wheels that will come to council. So we've put a more generalised statement in the actual policy.
Right. But any of those special cases would come to council, you're saying, anyway?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
OK. Well, look, I've clarified what I can. Councillor Crossland?
Thank you. A question, please, Your Worship. Could I just clarify as well? I know that it shows a slight increase in rents received by the city, but isn't that offset by an increase in the amount of maintenance we've agreed to pay? And I just wondered if you could refresh my memory of how much maintenance we've taken off the lessees and we're now paying.
That's a good question. I just have to think about that at the moment. As I said, this modelling started prior to you putting that in. And all we looked at in the rent calculations was their current rent and insurance, and we were trying to ensure there'd be no net difference, so their repairs and maintenance didn't come into this modelling.
Yeah, I think if memory corrects, I don't know if anyone around the room can help us here, but there were hundreds of thousands additional that council are paying towards maintenance of the building, which the people who rent those assets no longer have to pay. I wonder if anyone can just confirm that.
I think something that happened was that we allocated twice as much for maintenance, but because of a terminology issue, it wasn't necessarily spent. But I might be wrong about that. Ms. Hampton, what do you say?
We are working hard spending it, that's for sure. I think what was in the policy referred to, council would it clarified that council would take on all structural responsibilities, and that we would just leave organisations to do minor repairs like fluoro, tap washers, for a number of reasons. One, to ensure that we have workman-like repairs and maintenance done, but also council really is liable for the structural and the major works done.
All right. Mr. Councillor Hull?
Apart from the financials of this, which is not unimportant, Councillor Crosland makes a good point, and I think that this is one of the cornerstones of the attempt of this council to make our infrastructure more sustainable going forward, and we don't have holes falling down around the management committees. And I'll talk more about that later, obviously, Mr. Mayor, but on page 31, one of the other matters that we were going to try and sort out that had been bothering many of us was political advertising. And I thought we agreed. I thought we agreed when we had the forum, the majority of us agreed that we should be setting a bipartisan, a non-partisan, I should say, approach to this. And yet the administration has dropped this, crossed it out. I'd like an explanation.
It certainly was discussed in the forum. When it came to council last time, the political sign exclusion had been excised. But perhaps I'll ask Ms Hampton to explain.
When we brought it up at the last meeting, it was in there, and there was quite a bit of discussion at the council meeting regarding it, and there were very mixed views about it, and we did discuss it in quite a bit of detail. So what I have put in the report is that I have suggested we remove it only because there didn't appear to be an agreed view from members at the last meeting. It may require further consultation.
Well, I think it's the perfect sort of controversial issue about which two reasonable different people can have different points of view. That is perfect for an amendment if you'd like to test that on the floor. I think that's probably the best way to resolve it.
If you can take that on board, Mr. Mayor.
Yes. Well, to start with, I think we're probably ready to move a motion. So out of Councillor Westwood, out of those three options, the $1,000 minimum, the $300 minimum, the no minimum rent, what are you moving?
Could I just ask for clarification? I'm sorry I was a bit late. The no rental fee being applied, does that that doesn't alter anything else other than no minimum being applied? Is that right? All right. Well, actually, I would favour the B option, 300, and I'd move that. Thank you.
Right. I'll just check if that's seconded. Seconded, Councillor Telfer. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Westwood?
Only to say that it's very difficult. Any community group should be out there, or is out there usually, to pursue what they are there for initially, which is sport or community gardening or something else, tennis. Not that tennis is not a sport, of course. But anyway, the point is that they are out there, but we probably should be expecting users to pay something, but I don't think we should be overburdening users of the facilities that council provide. Thank you, and that's all.
Councillor Telfer.
I support the work that's been done on this. It's difficult work because over 40 or 50 years, each group has made its own arrangements, and to line them up together, there are some groups that have to pay more, and so that's painful to them. On the other hand, the thought that building insurance will be done totally by council is a plus, and the exterior, some of the issues, there are quite a lot of clubs that tell me they're too old to be cleaning gutters. So I look forward to us maintaining what we have in a higher standard and talking to groups and explaining to them why they're needing to pay a bit more if they're a larger club.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Sorry, Councillor Westwood, you have spoken. What is it?
Sorry, just clarification. Is it possible to, with the indulgence of the meeting and the seconder, include that other part that Councillor Hull referred to at this stage?
Well, no. I'll say that's out of order because I think, first of all, Councillor Hull would like to move that, but secondly, it's done more cleanly as an amendment in my suggestion. So we've got a mover and seconder of the main motion. I'm after anyone either speaking in opposition or moving an amendment. I look to Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I support what's up there with the addition of what was on page 31 in the report, that political signs in relation point 17, council approve its display of any political signs on leased or licensed facilities in order to be bipartisan. Actually, it says bipartisan. It should be non-partisan is the right word. Now, members, I don't think this has really been tested by this council. There may have been some assessments of numbers that I don't agree with, and this is the time to test it. So we'll put it to rest. But, members,
Councillor, can I beg your indulgence? I'll give you, you know, extra time for this, but I just want to clarify what we all mean by political advertising. And I say that I just want to run something past you, some alternative wording that's a bit more specific. That advertising for political parties, members of parliament, elected members and candidates for parliament or council be prohibited on council-owned premises. Now, the reason I've done that is because when we get into the area of a community campaign, it could be considered political advertising. And yet I think what we were trying to get at there was a party political thing, essentially.
Yeah, sure.
So if there was a...
I accept the verbiage completely,
yep. All right.
Mr Mayor, and thank you for your input.
We'll pop that in. That would go in as a...
I foolishly followed the words of the administration, including bipartisan. No, thank you for that input. Mr Mayor...
I'll just check if that is seconded. Seconded Councillor Hutchinson. So, Councillor Hull, please continue.
It is good that the MPs or whoever take an interest in those sporting clubs or whatever it might be. It's good they do that. However, it would be, if you think about it this way, at the next council election, do you think that the state government would allow me to put my sign up on the State Aquatic Centre? Oh, hang on, that's been done before. I forgot about that. Or would they allow me to put my sign up at Flinders Medical Centre in case some Marion people are up there? I think not. And this is the example that I'm making, that there has to be some decorum in this. There has to be some standards, and we can't afford to have the clubs and our premises seen as being party political in any way. In the case of Hallett Cove, where it looks like it might be Liberal Party headquarters, with the Labor federal member, would she think, well, why would I actually look at getting a grant for this club when it's dominated by the other mob? That is the danger. If you go to a tennis club in the north of the city, you might think it's the Labor Party tennis club. Okay? I think there's a terrible danger in this, and I think this is an opportunity. We've talked about it for a while, and we've been grumblings about it for a while. This is the opportunity to sort it out. Okay? Now, in terms of consultation, the question's been asked about administration. Well, we haven't done consultation. Did they consult with us? Did they consult with us one little bit? No way. Did they consult and ask this council whether they could put their pictures up down there at that club, or Annabelle Diagant's putting her stuff up down there at that tennis club? They did not. They did not consult with this council. They might have talked to the administration, but that's different. So I just think that we need to actually sort this out. I'm not having a go at any particular person or political party. It's just the standard we want to set.
Councillor Hutchinson, anything? We therefore proceed to vote on the amendment immediately. So...
Excuse me,
do you have a point of order?
I do. I just want to, seeing as we're doing this part here, I wish to remove myself from the vote just in case my vote is taken the wrong way.
Well, I'll take that as a point of... you're excluding yourself on the basis of a perceived conflict of interest, are you?
I would say that it could possibly be misconstrued how I voted.
Well, then you have to specify, please, what the perceived conflict of interest is.
I guess people may think it might be an attack on a political member or political party, so I don't wish to be part of the vote. Staying, can I?
No, you can't. You're concerned that... there might be a perception that because of your affiliation with a political party, your connection with a political party, that your vote might be influenced?
No,
is that
I'm not a member. I'm currently actually not a member of a political party, I don't think. I think it's lapsed. I just think that it may be seen as a distributive, something like that. So I just think it's better that I'm not part of it.
Well, just as I was... Councillor Kerry could probably advise you on this, because at the very last meeting I made the point with him that if you're going to remove yourself on the basis of a perceived conflict of interest, and no one's suggesting that it's an actual conflict, then you just need to specify it. But if the perceived conflict is, if you can express it, is it an affinity with a political party? I mean, how do you want to express it? It's
well,
up to you.
I guess I don't want people thinking their posters getting taken down, things like that, are a direct attack on them personally. So I wish to remove myself from the debate.
Well, see, what I'm not sure whether it's that you don't want to exercise your responsibility, which would be actually wrong, or whether there's a perceived conflict of interest, and I'm trying to help you work through this. If there's a perceived conflict of interest, then you'd have to say what the perceived conflict of interest might be. In other words, if you think that somebody might think that because of your affinity with a political party, your vote might be influenced, even though it wouldn't be really, then we can record that.
I'm happy to do that, even though we are addressing it across all parties.
Right. Well, now, Ms. Thwaites, being an excellent acting governance manager, has just pulled the noose around the loophole, because she's pointed out that membership of a political party is not the basis for a conflict of interest, perceived conflict of interest. So you actually don't have a conflict of interest, and you have no basis to leave the chamber. So I'm going to proceed to the vote, and I'll ask those in favour, say aye, or raise your hand. Those against, the amendment is carried, so we'll now proceed with the rest of the debate. Anyone who hasn't spoken can speak to the motion, if there are any other speakers. Well, if there are none, I'll simply ask Councillor Westwood if he'd like to close the debate. Councillor Westwood, anything to cap it off?
No, I don't believe I have anything else to add. Thank you.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, carried by majority. Thank you. Right. Now, in the excitement, I missed the confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody like to move that the minutes be confirmed? Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? That's carried by, or unanimously, I'd say. No, that's carried by majority, there being a dissenting voice. I'll call a division. All those in favour of confirming the minutes, please stand in your place. Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Westwood, Byram, Velescu, Gard and Crossland. Those against is Councillor Kerry. You may sit down, thank you. Now we move on to a question. Is it a point of order or something? No, look, I'm not going to take questions without notice after the matter's closed, thank you. The deputations we now come to. So, regarding the Marion Outdoor Pool, you'll notice there's a reference on page 65A of your minutes. There were two different deputations tonight, and I agreed to them because both are the subject of a great deal of community passion. So I'd ask, it's Mr. Reachell, is it? Yes, please come forward and you please address us. You have 5 minutes maximum to discuss the Marion Pool, being a matter before the council this evening. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. I've just a few dot points here, so I'll just run through them as quickly as I can.
Mr. Richell, you take after me. I talk best standing up, but I would welcome it if you would sit down, because
certainly
it's going to assist with our microphone system.
Fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so what is the purpose of council facilities? To serve the community, yes. Do council goals include improving the health and fitness of the community? I believe that is true. It does. They do. Is the aim of all council facilities to make a profit, e.g. libraries, cultural centres, etc.? I would say no, because most council-run facilities run at a loss. With obesity on the increase and fitness on the decrease, and drownings and shark attacks on the increase, there is even more need than ever before to support the outdoor pool and to support a facility that has provided physical, mental and spiritual health benefits to the community for 40 years and is highly valued by the community, as was demonstrated by the 7,000 signatures tabled in Parliament through Patrick Conlon in 2005. The pool has had an increase in family attendance in the past few years. The swim school has had record figures, and so have the birthday party bookings. 2011-12, there were 84,000 attendees. In 15 and 16, there were 78,000. And 16-17 was way above average. If you were to take an average fee of $4 per head and multiply that by 78,000, you'd get a 312,000 income from the pool, not a deficit of 600,000. The pool had better than expected figures through all the peaks and troughs after the state pool opened, and the staff can be very proud of the figures achieved, even with the state pool being heavily subsidised. The outdoor supports the state pool during competition times, accommodating visiting training teams. But the outdoor pool and other council facilities are not there to make money, they're there to serve the community. Now, Touch by Olivia playground is a fantastic idea. And the land there has been allocated, I believe, for this. And the outdoor pool will support this audience, as we have a special disabled toilet and change room and lifter, and the Friends of the Outdoor Pool will provide free swimming lessons for this audience, but cannot if it's emptied. I have letters from bipartisan politicians supporting the outdoor pool, and the community in general supports keeping this beautiful facility, and I'm sure we'll fight to keep it. And how will the remaining pools cope with an extra 80,000 bodies should the pool close? Now, it's a good thing that council is upgrading sports courts. However, there is no danger of drowning if there were no sports courts. Basketball is great for young teens up to about 35 years old, and swimming is good from birth until death, with no impact or knee surgery required, and is good for ex-netball players when they're older. If you were to look at the reviews of the outdoor pool, it gives them 4.5 to 5 stars. People love it. And remember, you don't know what you have until you've lost it. We have this fantastic facility. Please, let's try and keep it. For approximately 40 years, there's not been any significant updates or expenditure to the facility, which is evidence of its structural strength, because it's lasted that long with very little spent on it, except that the boilers were recently replaced and, of course, the new slide, which is a wonderful thing. Now, the community expects to see some good improvements to their favourite pool, and the maintenance budget over the years, as I said, was minimal over this time. Council and community have worked together for some time now to bring about the master plan and keep the pool open for future generations to enjoy. That's 2016 onward for future generations. It was examined back in the day when we were looking and council was looking at closing it, and it was found to be structurally sound, and whoever built that pool made a thoroughly good job of it. I hope the new one's built to the same standards. So all I have to say is that the Friends of the Outdoor Pool will continue to work with council to this end, to keep it open for future generations. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Richard, and it's perfectly timed to 5 minutes. Thank you. I'd now like to ask Mr. Krieg to come up, a resident of Hughes Court. 5 minutes was up. It's up to the Speaker if they wish to allow time for questions. So please, Mr. Craig, come on up. Yes, you have 5 minutes. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Council members and Mayor and members of the Chamber. I'd like to present another voice of the community regarding the proposed Hughes Court Reserve. Our voice may have not been formally heard up to this point, so I start with a testimony then move on to some points of consideration. I'm a Marion Council resident, having lived on the cul-de-sac of Hughes Court for 18 years. It has been a rewarding and fulfilling experience raising my family in the area, with particular benefit and enrichment provided by our regular access to and use of the adjacent green space, the Hughes Court Reserve. This space is now under threat of development due to the persistent lobbying of a small but vocal group of interested residents who seek to resolve their concerns about parking congestion and parking space limitations around Wood End Primary School, and who deem the public green space adjacent to the school as a suitable location on which to exert their demands for adequate parking. I and my fellow neighbours and a wider group of local residents are strongly opposed to the diminishment and development of the Hughes Court Reserve, and request that the Marion Council vote no to this proposed development at the Council meeting tonight. We believe that green spaces should be protected from development for all the reasons that they were first established, and that it is fundamentally wrong to acquiesce to the lobbying of a section of the local community and to change zoning descriptions to allow the proposed development. There are other options to consider to ameliorate the car parking problem that require further exploration and assessment that do not require the development of community green space. We hope that all councillors agree on the need to actively pursue a range of other solutions without opting for, in the eyes of some, a quick fix. Please consider these points. The proposed development would create a further heat sink in the local environments and add to an already increasing effect of heat reflection and raised temperature in the vicinity. The development obviously reduces available community green space, local residents' amenity, and probably also imposes a negative effect on adjacent house and land values. The development represents a permanent and inflexible solution to a temporary problem that exists for only 30 minutes in the morning approximately and in the afternoon, brief periods of time, and only on weekdays during the 40 weeks of the school year. When school is out, the car park remains largely or wholly unused. Increasing traffic and car use commensurate with local population increase have been taken as an unavoidable given. People's choices to drive their children to and from school need to be challenged by providing education and opportunity for other modes of transport, e.g. walking, community walking bus, bicycling, carpooling. We encourage the Council to not kowtow to the claims of unsafe streets and parents have no other choice but to drive their children to school. A renewed effort to join with Wood End Primary School Council leadership group and community members is needed on this issue. Further to this, creative ideas and possible solutions involving community consultation and school leader involvement need to be brought to the table to determine what procedures could be trialled, e.g. staggered start-finish times at school, incentives for alternative transport modes, purchase and development of privately owned space to develop for parking, i.e. the western end of the school oval. Any land development for school community car parking should start and end with discussions on how school land, whether privately owned or not, could be adopted or adapted to provide some parking and rule out the opportunistic annexing of adjacent community green space through a process of zone description alterations. We need bold, creative and consultative leadership from Council on this issue. Development of the Hughes Court Reserve would be a win for a small number of car driving parents and a loss for everyone else in the community, with extra exhaust pollution, after hours hoon driving and burnouts, and the reserve has been subject to this over many years. Possible antisocial behaviour after hours, reflected heat to contend with, further possible safety compromises at entry and exit points, loss of trees and vegetation, the general eyesore of yet more tarmac, loss of amenity and other negative impacts that may follow. Generally speaking, it is a poor idea and the wrong thing to do. The Hughes Court Reserve has not been watered for roughly 10 years. Local residents frequently mow, water, mulch and tend to remaining trees. We highly value the green space, as do many other local people who walk, sit and play on it. Further to our opposition to the proposed development, we ask that instead of a car park, that community building projects be instead considered. For example, a community garden, establishment of food-bearing plants and trees, installation of children's play equipment, barbecue or rotunda or other structure. These types of projects fit with the utility of green community space and increase the social capital potential of the commons. Please preserve the community's precious green spaces, and in this case the Hughes Court Reserve, and vote no to any proposed development of this land. Other solutions can and must be found. Thank you. on behalf of Hughes Court residents, myself and other local community members.
Thank you very much. There are a few seconds left. Any quick question? Councillor Hull.
Yes, so I'd like to know if the Speaker has advice for the Council in terms of why this is happening, and that it was the drop-off area, the safety of the children that have been talked about in terms of the drop-off area. And
I'm aware of it, Councillor Hull, and I've watched it for many years become a bigger school and a more congested school. So I've seen the problem gradually develop over the years.
Yeah, as a local, I'm not a local. I'm just interested to know if you've got any advice to us as to how we can remedy that situation.
I guess I haven't come up here providing the actual solutions. In my letter, I was suggesting further consultation and discussion with council, school leadership, parent community. I don't believe that other options have been thoroughly explored and exhausted.
All right, we'll leave it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've actually heard that from one of your councillors as well, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Creed. We'll leave it there. Now, it's custom when we can to bring on items which are relevant to delegations. So with the leave of the meeting, if there is leave of the meeting, what I would suggest is that we proceed with the item concerning Wood End Primary School car park, and then the motion by Councillor Valescu regarding the outdoor pool slide, and then the Marion Outdoor Swim Centre master plan before remaining items. Now, I should explain something. Councillor Valescu, prior to the meeting, raised a point that with the slide, it is an item that's independent or could be done independently of the rest of the master plan, but if the, well, I guess it's the mini master plan we're talking about, but if that goes ahead and is passed, it locks in future construction of the slide ahead of when Councillor Valescu would like it to happen. So it is logical, I think, to deal with his motion first as a standalone item and then deal with the rest of the issue. And I'm aware that Councillor Telfer may have a motion if the master plan, or if both of those motions about the pool fail, then Councillor Telfer may wish to move something else. Is that, Councillor Telfer, you with me on that? Yep. Okay, so do I have leave of the meeting to proceed in that way? Very good. Then a call on the Wood End Primary School car park item. It's on page 232 of your agenda. You'll see that the state have written back to us saying they will not be funding a solution. That leaves us with two simple directions to go, unless somebody comes up with a third idea. But it's either that we do nothing or we fund it and build the car park on the reserve. So, Councillor Byram.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've actually put through an amendment to the motion, and there's a third point that I am putting up there, which should have come through. And I have discussed this with staff. So I'll start talking to that. Okay, so the first one notes the report is the same. Endorses option one. I'll talk to that in a minute. But option three, when we look at the letter that came back from the minister, the very last paragraph does state, should council identify any opportunity for a portion of Wood End Primary School to be ceded to council for the establishment of a further kiss and go drop zone, the department would be happy to work with council to explore this opportunity. I wanted to just explain that the history with this. There's been a lot of history with looking at the parking problems in this area and the traffic flow. One of the things that was asked of the department years ago was about a kiss and go zone and some area to be used from the school, and they vetoed that totally. It's interesting now that we've made another suggestion to them that they've now come back and suggested that back to us, that they'd like to negotiate on that. So I'd like to put a third point in there that we investigate that suggestion further with the Minister of Education and also the school to look at that. Now, just further on the Kiss and Go Zone, they've actually stopped that at the school. They found it was blocking Young Street totally. They had to actually stop the one they had there because there wasn't enough area for it. So this now, from the Minister, means that we can explore that issue again.
May I interrupt Councillor Byram? I just want to clarify.
Yes.
I'll give you plenty of time to explain. But there seems to be an inconsistency because your motion says that council should build a car park
on the reserve, which is community land.
As it's up on the screen at the moment, it says that in addition, you would investigate the opportunity of a kiss and go zone. So that's two additional things.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's order.
Sorry.
I just want to make sure that that's your intention.
Okay. The intention is that option one, which states endorses the procedure to community consultation. We've had Mr. Acreag in tonight talking to us, but I believe we should have further consultation with the community over this matter and the community land management plans regarding this area. So I want to see that continue so as people can talk about it. And I should have amended the actual first line that council funds it. I'm meaning we proceed to community consultation and then come back and look at whether that proceeds or does not proceed.
Well, I'll just engage with you a little bit further because clause two of option one is to design and cost the
option 1.1.
So are you... Okay, so maybe we're clarifying this. Where it has up on the screen endorses option one, do you mean only 1.1?
Yes, Your Worship.
But may I say that the... Okay. I mean, the community consultation is quite specifically to comply with the legal requirement when community land is going to be used for a different purpose than it should be. So...
Yeah, the intent is to still explore that, but to not rule it out at this stage.
I'm looking for staff advice on this because I just think that if we go out for consultation with that purpose, then we would need to show people the plan for the car park and have a proposal to remove the community land status from the place where the car park would be. Is that the case, Mr. Lyons?
Your Worship, without wanting to enter into Councillor Byram's debate, I did have a look at her wording before, and I must admit I swapped option one and option two, so I'm sorry about that, Councillor Byram. But I think my suggestion could be that any consultation maybe be incorporated into the third option there, and we could expand it out to include the consideration of a kiss and go with further consultation.
I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Just a sec. I'll just ask if there's a seconder for the motion. Councillor Westwood is going to be seconder. Councillor Byram, I did engage with you a bit there. Did you wish to say any more?
Yes, if I could, thank you, Your Worship. It's not a quick fix, this one, but there is a lot of problems in that area. A lot of it was alleviated when there was vacant land next to the school, but that's since been developed and houses on there, and it's made the traffic flow even worse in the area. The other thing that we were talking about with that particular green land there is that we need to see more vegetation on it. So one of the things that have been talked about was to have this small parking area and a drive-through, which was to be like a kiss and go, and further trees and more vegetation. So that was one of the things that we were looking at, was more vegetation in that area. But we need to look at, now that this kiss and go possibility has come up, that we need to explore that fully.
We'll move on to Councillor Westwood, but I want to make a point about governance, This is a very, very similar situation to what we had with Finnis Street, when staff came to us with one traffic treatment when there was really a plan for three. And we said to them, if you've got a plan for three and you're going to do it piecemeal, come back to us with the overall plan for three speed humps or whatever, and then we'll make a decision on that. But we won't start down the track unless we have that end objective. Now, there's what I say very respectfully is, why would we consult about removing community land status from that reserve unless we are committed to building the car park subject to favourable response from the consultation? In other words, why store up the hornets? Why store up the stir up the hornet's nest, not store up the hornet's nest. Why would we do that unless we're minded to actually proceed subject to the consultation response? Would you just clarify that for us, Councillor?
Thank you, Your Worship. I think one of the things that has alarmed residents particularly over this matter was the way that it came out, and that they felt they hadn't been given the opportunity to have a community consultation, and that still hasn't been done. So whichever way we go, we need to have community consultation to allow people to have a voice on this matter.
Yes. Now, this is a very specific kind of community consultation. I just want to make that clear to all members. This is about removing the reserve status of a reserve. You've got a question, Councillor Crossland?
Can I move an amendment?
No, because I want to hear from the seconder first. Councillor Westwood, did you wish to speak?
Your Worship, we think we'll take out point two and incorporate the community consultation with point three.
Right, so then let me just take this back a step for all of us to get some perspective. When the matter came before us last time, we had several options, and one of the major variables was whether state funding would be provided or not. So in essence, what we did was put off making a decision because we wanted to know the state's position. State says no, and now it's back with us for decision. As I see the way you're heading now, Councillor Byram, it's essentially putting off that decision again, subject to this further investigation and consultation.
Can I answer that?
Yes, because you see, your motion as printed at the moment is actually taking us a step closer to building the car park, but without actually committing to it. So this is all just about being clear what you really want to achieve in the short term.
Okay, the letter from the department said no to funding for the car park, but they've then put in this paragraph at the end saying they're open to negotiations on a kiss and go zone, and which they didn't said no to years ago. So there is a no in their letter, but there's an opening for something in the last paragraph, and the original motions didn't take that into account. So we want to be able to explore that opening that has come there from the department and explore that further.
Yes, I mean, there may well be broad support for what you've got there about exploring a kiss and go zone. Can I go back to your consultation then? I completely appreciate the fact and commend the fact that you are for community consultation. But I just question now, from your discussion, I'm taking this, whether it is essentially consultation to remove community land status, which is a significant legal event, or whether it's consultation about the concept of the car park on the reserve. You see, because there are two different things.
Yes, I understand the difference there, Your Worship. It is more the concept, and it is getting from the public, as Mr. Creeks put some suggestions forward today, there'll be other people in the community that will have suggestions, and I believe all of that sort of thing should be explored.
May I suggest some alternative wording to fit your intention then? And that would be with the leave of the mover and the seconder if they wish to adopt it. But point two, that's right, would not refer to the options that we had coming from staff. It would be well, maybe not even endorses, just proceeds to community consultation in relation to the concept of a car park being situated on Hughes Court Reserve. I mean, in essence, that's what is being proposed.
Are we able to include Kiss and Go or other
suggestions? Yes, yeah, I mean, because that will work perfectly well with number three. I mean, they're not inconsistent. So, are the mover and the seconder agreeable to that? Right. So, we're now open for debate. Councillor Crossland, where does that leave you?
I'll run with that, and we'll see what happens.
Councillor Hull?
Question. School drop-off areas is not isolated to this particular school, and I'd like to acknowledge the good work being done by our administration in working with Stella Maris School to actually find a solution to that very problem. And the point that I'm making in the question, Mr. Mayor, is that how come a Catholic school, in this case, can actually start thinking about putting land aside to make their kids safer, and yet we actually have the door closed by Susan Close in regards to such matters with a state government school?
Yes, certainly it's been a long-standing state government policy not to assist with car parking for drop-off and pick-up. The unfortunate thing is that since that policy was in place decades ago, society has changed drastically in terms of danger to children, in terms of two parents working and driving around. So it really has changed the dynamics of the school environment. However, that's what we're faced with. But thank you for the additional information. And if it helps, I can add that when I was a state member of Parliament covering that area, probably around 10 years ago, I know Mr. Griffin of our staff would recall, we went down there and talked about allowing for more car parking out the front of the school on Edmund Beck Drive. And council was very cooperative and successful in creating more car park spaces. But it doesn't stop people parking three abreast when they're picking kids up, as the current situation is. So, any more speakers in favour of the motion? Then you've already spoken, Councillor Westwood, or had your opportunity. Councillor Byram, nothing necessary to close the debate? Then I put... Oh, Councillor Crossland. Okay, I thought I'd given you an opportunity, but yep, go ahead.
Yep, thank you. Unfortunately, I speak against in its current format for a number of reasons. I believe originally there was some fear from council that we'd open the floodgates and start using reserves for car parks. I'm wholly against that for schools. Schools have sufficient land, and in fact this school probably does for a kiss and go, but the way this is worded makes it sound as if the kiss and go is in council's land, not in the school's land, which I would be interested in. So in its current format, and the other thing was that when we last brought it to council, the discussion was around funding, and council wasn't particularly interested in not only giving land but funding it, and quite clearly the department has indicated that they won't fund the car park, so it's pretty much a no from them. And finally, what are we going to consultation on? We're consulting on a car park that council hasn't yet supported, which will stir up the community unnecessarily. It might not get any council support. And the kiss and go, if it is on council land or the department's land, isn't yet even designed or described. I've referred to the letter where it leaves it pretty open as to, is the kiss and go on Dex land or is it on council land? And it looks very ambiguous to me with no clarification. So until those things are actually ratified, maybe through a ward briefing, I won't be supporting this motion.
Look, I don't know if it helps, but that
clause 3 does not stipulate whether it should be on council, private or state government land. So it's, anyway, it's up to councillor. Well, Councillor Pryor, you've got a quick one?
I do have a quick one. If this motion fails, does that preclude us from doing investigation in point 3 or not?
If the motion fails, I would suggest that we are effectively saying we do not want to proceed with the concept, because if we're not going to begin even putting a toe in the water with consultation about the concept, unless I'm advised otherwise, that sounds like there would be no progress whatsoever. That's my reading of it, unless there's some intermediary motion. So that would be the end of the matter if the motion is defeated, as far as my reading of it is concerned. Councillor Byron, would you like to close the debate?
Thank you, Your Worship, I would. Yes, last time we talked about that, and people were concerned about the floodgates opening, but I must say with this letter that's come back from the department, yes, it said no to the car park, but it has this last paragraph, to me, is an opening for us to explore. And I think that would be an opening then for other schools in the future for exploring, if we can look at that with kiss and go zones. So I do fully recommend that this be investigated and looked at. There are residents that are saying that they are not happy about the road blocking at certain times of the day. There are others that are saying it's a short time of the day, and yes it is, but that does affect buses and affect a lot of other people. And the school is being affected, the safety of our children is being affected. So it needs to be looked at, it needs community consultation, everyone's voices need to be considered and looked at. And we haven't done that yet. It's just been in the press and being talked about politically, and we need to give everyone a chance to have a say. Thank you.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. The motion is carried. Division is called. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Councillors Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull, Woodward, Westwood, sorry, Byram, Valescu and Gard. Just remain standing a moment. All those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Kerry and Crossland. You may sit down. I am sorry, Councillor Westwood. I hope there's no offence. I might have been mixing you up with that English actor, Edward Woodward, who played Callan all those years ago. Anyway, we now proceed to the next item. Since we're doing it this way, Councillor Valesco to move in relation to his slide.
Thank you, Your Worship. I do take my comments as read. Obviously, I am a supporter of the pool. There hasn't been significant work done there for the 40 years it's been there. So I would like to gauge the Chamber's views on bringing the slide, the second slide, forward to be ready for the next season. I have checked with finance in regards to how it's done. I believe there has been some information provided as far as the ongoing costs today to members. I did provide this over 2 weeks ago, so it wasn't something that was brought late in the piece. I'm looking that. I think we haven't done much at that facility lately. There was a time when the facility was seen to close. Very little was spent on it. The disabled toilets got brought forward from the 2019 to 2012. The slide got replaced with a new slide, but only because it was failing. There hasn't been anything else. If council chooses to support the master plan and proceed to the next step, to basically get it ready for approval and for tender, which is the next motion, there wouldn't be any significant building for still probably another couple of years. So we've spent a fair bit of money already on the reports. Some people may have various opinions on how those reports were actually done. I guess I would have preferred a few different approaches myself. But we're showing the community that we, you know, we are committed to this asset and we're looking to provide something in the short term. Another advantage is that we are able to, I guess, create a little bit of a buzz about something new at the facility, and that would be the draw card. And if council chooses to proceed with the master plan, and that does go in stages, then we can have other bits and pieces coming on board and having peaks of interest and getting the most out of the spend that is required on that facility. This is a facility that is supported, and if we look at the costs, if you're looking at approximately a 6%, 0.6% of percentage of rates, at 0.6% of that to fund a loan for this facility, it means that it's 75 cents for every $500 of rates per quarter that each member, each person will pay on this. So for the average person, you're looking at round about $2.25 per quarter, and that's being somewhat generous for around about $4 million worth of spending, and that would be over a long-term loan, very much like other loans we've taken. So a $10 million loan, you're looking at $1.75 per quarter per $500 worth of rates that people currently have. So if we look at it, it's a lot of money, but it is a small amount that each person will contribute towards a facility that is used throughout the city and beyond, and it's very important, very unique, and it has got a broad range of support, and I hope that council can support this first step and the next steps into the future.
Councillor, I'm just checking with management whether there should
be the suggested motion, Your Worship. At the bottom of the report.
Bottom of page 282. Yes. I should have pointed out to members the item starts on page 280 and staff have come up with their own version or different expression of what Councillor Belisca is saying at the bottom of page 282. And the only question then is whether there should be an additional clause which deals with the lifelong maintenance costs of the slide. So I'll ask Mr. I'm having trouble with names tonight. Mr. Misud to speak.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. Yeah, through the chair. So I would recommend in adding a third point, as has been suggested, to notate what the calculated whole of life costs would be for an additional slide, which equates to $22,400 per annum in operating and maintenance costs and $8,000 per annum in renewal costs. And be happy to suggest that wording to go with that.
I'm happy to do that. We've got that with the tennis report coming up later on. I think that's prudent.
Yeah, it's a prudent addition to motions such as this, and it's good that you've worked with staff prior to this evening, Councillor, to give them plenty of notice. I'll ask if the motion is seconded.
Yeah.
Councillor Crossland, did you wish to speak, Councillor Crossland?
No, the only thing that I'll just add is that I do support this, but I'm supporting it because I'd like to see the attendance grow, and I will be moving a motion hopefully later in the year to get some suggestions for more marketing and use of the pool. And also it gives us an indication whether spending this money will actually lead to more viability of the pool and more attendance rates, which will be a good measure before we move to any other expenditure.
Anyone speaking against, or a question from Councillor Hutchinson?
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wanted to know if the staff have any indicative increase in revenue as a result of the slide going in, because I can't seem to see it there, unless I'm blind.
Through the Chair, we are very apprehensive to put anything in. It was obvious from the first slide that was put in, we did have an increase in income and then it did plateau. There's no benchmark or actual figures That was the case when we worked with KPMG on that original business analyst. There has been talk of 10%, but we're not confident to put it in a report that that's what we would achieve, but it is evident from the previous slide that there was certainly an increase in income.
As a matter of interest, how did the KPMG predictions go versus experience with the slide that's been put in?
I'm referring to the current master plan that was not in line with the previous slide.
Sorry. And just for completeness, 10% is how much in dollar terms?
So I said I'm reluctant to say it is 10%. So
we're not sure. Councillor Pryor.
Do we have a good way to assess the change in patronage if we do go ahead with the slide?
Through the chair, we do get attendance numbers, so one would then make the assumption an increase in attendance was as a result of that new slide being put in lieu of any other additional programs or services that we initiated at the pool.
Are we saying that we don't actually count the numbers of people going down the slide?
I'm getting a nod from Tyson that we do count the number of people going down the slide.
So just
through the chair, if I can add. So we get stats from our point of sale system where we can know the use of the water slide.
Okay, so just to clarify, if we use this, as Councillor Crosland is looking, to be, a test case for where the patronage is going to increase, we're going to have the numbers in 12 months' time or thereabouts to make an assessment on this?
The aim, if this motion is approved, that the slide would be installed before this season. So you would have, at the end of March next year, you would have those figures.
Good, thank you.
Now, Councillor Pfeiffer, I overlooked you trying to second the motion. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Might be showing my childlike nature here, but I'm a big fan of our water slide. I've used it many times and over summer with my kids. And look, the thing that jumps out at me, it is a very, very popular facility. It's a popular part of our pool. I was sceptical about it when we first went to replace it. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. It cost a lot more to actually replace it because we had to build the platform itself. We don't have to build the platform because we just hang it off the side of what we've got. Now, I was sceptical, but I tell you what, visually, I don't know about the actual numbers. You do have to buy a water slide path to go on it, but I don't know about the actual numbers, but visually, I can tell you what, it's darn popular during summer. The number of people, especially during the vac swim week, but also the following weeks after that, the number of people queued up on that platform is just incredible. It took me, the record in this last season was 22 minutes to get on the water slide, standing on the platform. So I think the more that you can actually increase the flow of people going through, and the more, you know, people who are there for vac swim or there for other reasons will actually see that queue moving and go, oh, you know, why don't we throw a few bucks at getting a water slide pass as well? That's just logic. Obviously, I don't have the data to back that up, but, you know, I tell you what, it's a long haul when it's 36 degrees and you're standing in the blaring sun on that platform. It's a long haul waiting for the darn thing. So I think it's the best quick thing that we can do for this facility, and I think getting it in immediately so that we can be ready for this next coming summer season would be fantastic.
Thank you. For the sake of members of the public present, I would like to stress that Councillor Pfeiffer's apparent injuries were not inflicted as a result of a water slide experience. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Valescu?
I'm not sure if we have any slide pass figures at all in the last year or so, because it is something we sell.
Too hard. No, sorry. Ms. Hampton, please go ahead.
Oh, I'd have to take that on notice, but I can get that fairly quickly for you.
Well, you're closing the debate, Councillor Valescu. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Well done. So now we move to the awfully named master plan motion.
At any rate, the pool improvement motion. Where are we? Page 166 of the agenda. Councillor Pfeiffer, did you wish to move that?
Oh, I can see Councillor Valescu itching to jump at it, but I will happily second it.
Councillor Valescu.
Your Worship. We embarked on the master plan process towards the end of the last term. I think we were given some advice from experts in the field of aquatic leisure that identified a need in the community generally that may not have been the needs or the wants of our community and what people wanted that facility. And I'm talking about an indoor hydrotherapy pool. I think with the information we have, that's not something that people wanted. It's been removed. So we previously had a master plan for that site that looked at about $11 million. We trimmed that down to well below the $4 million mark. As I said before, I would like us to take the next step towards improving this facility, towards updating the facility. I would have liked to bring forward things like the family splash pad, disabled pathways, not disabled access. We'd have some of that. The community room, changing the facility there for the food area. But it all needs to be part of the plan. And we also do need to do the Section 48. We can't do this in pieces to avoid that scrutiny, because we might find ourselves under other scrutiny for doing so. I think we do have the opportunity to do this in stages, but we haven't done anything in 40 years. People saying this facility hasn't changed, you can see the photos. I understand there will be more divergent views on this and more divergent votes. I think we had the community offside a lot on this when we proposed closing it. But now those that were opposing the council because of this decision are working with the council. And I'd like to see that continue. I think there are other things we can discover, and I would like to, you know, if people have other investigations about the project, things like that, I'm happy for people to ask for that. Maybe looking at Cogen in more detail, things like that. I think we should investigate that. But this is the next step to get ready. And this is the last of the plan before we're actually ready for tender, and also ready to remind state and federal government that they have an opportunity to participate with this as well. It'll also, if we choose, put us in time for grants, for sports grants, up to $1 million if there's no promises during election campaigns.
Councillor Pfeiffer, then I'll go to Councillor Crossland for a question.
Thank you, Worship. I'll very gladly second this. Look, one of our members has in the past said in regard to this facility that the only thing that has changed here is the councillor photos over the years. And you know what? He's not too far off the mark there. I suppose the trees have grown a bit, and we had the new water slide a couple of years ago. But aside from that, it's very little. Look, this year I had the opportunity of taking my son to vac swim every day, and I got to sit by the pool and just walk around and absorb the place and actually spend, it's probably all of about 6 hours by the end of the week, just wandering around and absorbing the place and understanding the place a bit better. I tell you what, a lot of it is really bloody embarrassing. It's really poor. It just needs an update, and it just needs some renewal. Like, I'm talking about obviously the things within the master plan, but simple things as well. Like the nozzle on the fountain in the kids' little in the baby pool had broken, so we replaced it with a bloody shower head. It looked ridiculous. Like, come on, we can do better than this, honestly. It was a 38-degree day one of the days that I was there, and the people were crammed in under the shade. Shade is one of the things in here. Come on, we can do better. We can do better with our facility. We just don't have the pride in this place. It is an excellent facility. It is well used. There's hundreds of people there a day during summer, especially during vac swim. But over that summer period, hundreds of people there every day. It is a really wonderful facility. It's in a wonderful location. It's well used. It's just embarrassingly tired. It really is. Mr. Reachel was probably a little generous in some of his comments, I think. But honestly, we can do better. So much of this master plan and so many of these elements in here really aren't that much more than basic renewal. Sure, okay, the water slide's a bit more than that, the splash pad's a bit more than that, and I think there's one other kids facility in there that's a little bit more than that, the water play structure. But the rest of it, a foyer reconfiguration, a facade upgrade, shade structures, a new barbecue, pathway accessibility, bus drive-through, CCTV in the car park, a car park upgrade. Is that really big ticket items? Are these things really broad, huge, wonderful things? It's basic renewal work that we should have done probably 20 years ago, and we just haven't done it until now. This is the time for us to actually do the right thing, to do the job properly, to do it the first time, stop dilly-dallying around. This has been around since well before I was on council, well before that. And I think we just need to get on with it and get this thing moving. Look, it is a fantastic facility. I want to see some change in there, some change for the better. And you know what? It would be nice to actually not change the council of photos in 18 months' time.
I think that's the first political speech I've heard you make. Councillor Crossland.
Can I move a deferral of this item, please?
Yes, of course. You can always do that. Until when?
Have we got any availability for any forum time between... I'd like it May. after a forum opportunity.
You want to come back at the end of June?
I'll be fine.
No, it's a budget thing. So we'll just have to create some time. And realistically, I'm asking Mr. Mifsud to be able to include it in the budget. You really want to bring that to council first meeting of May, don't you? So... and April's only 2 weeks away. I'm just trying to think. We might need a... We'll see how much other stuff there is, but we might need a special meeting one night to cope with it. But, I mean, April the 11th or whatever it is just unrealistic. So, I think.
No.
Sorry we're having this open discussion about timetable, but it might have to be that first meeting in May. So, what is that date, please? 9th of May. That's the motion... Is that seconded? Sorry, just briefly, Councillor, you want to discuss the whole issue? You've got costings, direction, just to give us an idea.
Mainly on the aspects of the master plan.
Point of order.
Okay.
Procedural motion, there's no discussion.
Yeah. Well, I was just being indulgent there to get an idea. Thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Gard. Look, having said that, we may be looking at the April meeting after all, because next Tuesday is the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee meeting. If the Chair's happy with that, we could incorporate a session on the pool there.
Your Worship, we did that last Infrastructure Committee meeting for this very reason.
Right.
We have done that already.
That's true. I was there and Councillor Valescu had a very ample contribution. There was a lot of discussion about the pool.
Because what we're after is a whole of council discussion rather than just Infrastructure Committee, based
Everyone
on a lot of new information
that
wasn't at the last meeting.
Right. Look, we'll leave the motion as it is. Can always bring things back earlier if we want to. So, I put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Five. So, the motion is carried. Division is called by Councillor Valescu. Those in favour of the adjournment, please stand. Councillors Kerry, Telfer, Hutchinson, Pryor, Gard and Crossland, you may be seated. Those against, Councillors Pfeiffer, Hull, Westwood, Byram and Valescu. So the motion is carried and we'll resume discussion in May. Now we jump snakes and ladders, we jump back to near the beginning of the agenda. Committee recommendations, page 66, confirmation of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee meeting, which dealt so much with the Marion Pool. Someone like to move that the minutes be received? Yeah, Councillor Byram, easy one. Councillor Westwood, seconded. Any discussion? All those in favour? Raise your hand. All those against? Carried by majority. Now, we have a confidential item relating to an aspect of the library service review, page 74 of the agenda. Certainly does seem to be a good reason for it to go into confidence, in my view, but it's up to someone to move the confidentiality motion, if desired.
Our libraries are quiet and confidential.
This particularly relates to staffing of the libraries, and it therefore does have an impact on potentially, certainly personal affairs of people, namely their employment, etc. And it is customary that when we're discussing employment matters in detail that we go into confidence. This is not, I should stress, this is not the overall library service question. It's a library staffing question which arose out of the review. It's a small part of it. Was that moved, Councillor Crossland? That we go into confidence. Is that seconded? Councillor Hutchinson, all those in favour? All those against? It's carried by a majority. So apart from named people, I'd ask others to leave the room. And it's always hard to say. We might be 10 or 15 minutes, I suppose.